Well, good morning, good morning. Let's get started. Good morning, everyone. I've got something different this morning. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm more of a numbers and facts guy, but I'm growing, I'm learning, so I'm going to tell you a story. And Sunday afternoon, after church, and Nigel is having a nap on the sofa. Anyone else loves Sunday afternoon naps? Yeah, we've got Phil there, Chimeta, very good. But Nigel's having a beautiful nap on his sofa. But the problem is, Nigel has a son who recently became a teenager. And seeing his dad peacefully lying on the sofa, just can't help himself. Goes to the fridge, finds a piece of stinky cheese and gently smears it on Nigel's moustache. Now, it only takes a few minutes before the bad smell wakes Nigel up. Nigel gets up and grumbles to himself, "Wow, the living room really stinks." He quickly goes to the kitchen to get something to drink, and as he's pouring himself a glass of water, he shouts, "Wow, the kitchen stinks too." And frustrated, he's trying to escape the smell by going up into his newly renovated attic room. As he gets to the top of the stairs, he realizes the smell is still there. So frustratedly, he shouts, "Even the attic stinks." Now, he thinks what to do next. And Nigel has this genius idea just to leave the house completely. So he runs down the stairs, opens the back door, a few steps out into the garden, takes a deep breath of fresh air, and then yells, "The whole world stinks." And I want to talk to you today about the importance of having the right mindset. And mindset is a little bit like that stinky cheese. It affects how we see things around us. And it goes with us wherever we go, isn't it? It doesn't leave us, it's always there. And the worst thing about mindset is that we often don't realize that it's there. Just like that cheese on the moustache. Now, for the past year, we've been going through the book of Matthew with our Connect group. And this really helped me to realize how important the right mindset is. Especially after seeing the disciples completely missing things because of their wrong mindset. Now, the best example is, of course, in Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at that verse together. This is Matthew 16, verse 6. And it says that Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And here, Jesus isn't criticizing Peter because he doesn't know enough, or because he doesn't understand. He's criticizing Peter because he is thinking in the wrong way. Just a few verses earlier, Peter had this great confession about who Jesus is, and it was all correct. He knew the truth about who Jesus was, but he still arrived to the wrong conclusion because of his wrong mindset. He knew the truth, which is very important to know the truth, but he still completely messed it up because of the mindset that he had. Again, his conclusion was so bad that Jesus actually had to rebuke him in this quite a drastic way. And now that is a serious thing, because it means that I can read the Bible, I can listen to preaching and sermons, but without the right mindset, I can still arrive to the wrong conclusion. Again, our issue can be a lack of knowledge, but many times the real issue is the wrong mindset. with which we approach things. And this reminds me of the parable of the sower that Jesus told his disciples. It was the same seeds, the truth, the words, but there were four different results, partly based on the mindset of the people receiving that truth, that result, that word from God. So again, the mindset is so important. And so first thing we're looking at is the importance of the mindset. And I think I've convinced some of you how important mindset is. But I want to share with you one more verse to convince everyone how important mindset is to us. Now there's this famous verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 that we're going to look at next. And it says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And over the years, I've journeyed with many different believers through different seasons. And I would say that for most of them, the main issue was about knowing and aligning with the will of God for their life. I think I can speak for all the believers here when I say that we want to follow God's plan for our life, don't we? But the problem is, how do we know it? How do we know God's will for our life? And the mind-blowing thing that Paul tells us in this verse is that knowing God's will is not so much about our knowledge, but about having the right mindset. It's not about knowing things, it's about the way we think. He says that if you want to know God's will, then change your way of thinking. Now, at first, this doesn't seem quite right. Some of you here, I won't be naming names today, but some of you here might say, just give me God's 5-year plan for my life. I'll put it in a spreadsheet, and that's how I will know God's will for my life. But in the Matthew 16, Peter was told by Jesus himself exactly what God's plan was. Jesus told him that cross is God's plan, and Peter just told him, no, that's wrong. And he knew exactly what God's plan was, yet he rejected it because of the wrong mindset. That's what Jesus explained to Peter in the verse that we read. It's the way of thinking that Peter had to change. It wasn't his knowledge necessarily. Now, one fun thing about marriage is that after a while, you do start to think in a similar way. You come up with the same ideas. You say the same things at the same time. Not always. Sometimes we can be on a different wavelength. But sometimes, you know, you just align yourself, you just come up with exactly the same thing at the same time. And that's how I understand what Paul meant in this verse a little bit. As our thinking aligns with God's thinking, we start to see things in the way that he does. We start to get the right ideas. And I'll tell you another story. That when I was in my late teens, I was asking God to help me make a decision in a certain situation. I remember this very clearly. I was very earnestly seeking God to know his will in that situation. And this was one of the times, one of the few times when I very clearly heard God speak to me. And he told me to make my own decision. So I made my decision, and it was bad. I made the wrong decision. And it took me some time, but later I realized that I made the decision because of my wrong mindset. I made the decisions out of my selfish ambitions, out of my impatience. But I also realized that even if back then God told me what the right decision was, with my wrong mindset, it wouldn't actually work either. I could only appreciate and enjoy God's will for my life after my mindset has changed. And that's what Paul is telling us here. Renew your mind. That is how you will be able to discern God's will and enjoy God's will for your life. So hopefully, you can all see how important having the right mindset is. Let's now define exactly what we mean by mindset. We know it's important, but what is it actually? So if we know what it is, we can then think about some ways of improving it. Now, we live in the 21st century, isn't it? So naturally, I ask AI to tell me what mindset is. And this is what I got. A mindset is a fixed or established collection of attitudes, beliefs, and ways of thinking that shape how a person perceives the world, interprets experiences, makes decisions, and responds to situations. It acts like a mental filter or lens through which you view reality. It's the underlying framework that consistently influences your emotions, choices, and actions. And I like this idea of mindset being a lens through which we see the world. Again, a little bit like that cheese on the moustache, isn't it? It influences our thinking and our experience of what is around us. It affects our every experience. And so since mindset is so fundamental to who we are, it is key. It's so essential for us as Christians to ensure that we have the right mindset, isn't it? It has to be something that we really make sure that we've got sorted. Now, let's break it down further. In the AI definition, it said that mindset is a collection of these many things. So what does mindset consist of? It consists of core beliefs, attitudes and perspectives, values and priorities, assumptions and mental filters, behavioral tendencies, and habits. Now, the Bible doesn't actually talk about mindset directly a lot, but it addresses all of these separate elements in many different places. And so to fully change our mindset means we will have to work on all of these different categories. Now, this would be quite a lot to fit in one sermon. So today, I'll just mention what the Bible says in general about changing and improving our mindset. But again, there's a lot to it. There's so many different elements to what constitutes our mindset that the Bible speaks to in this indirect way. One thing that's also interesting to note is that many non-Christians are talking about the importance of healthy mindset. There are actually many resources, many books and podcasts that offer some tools and techniques to help us improve our mindset. And in my opinion, I think a number of them might be of some benefit. But the problem is that as Christians, we're not just looking to improve our mindset. We want to completely renew it. It's a little bit like the proverbial rearranging of the deck chairs on the Titanic. You can make some changes, but you can't ultimately change the destination with these tools. For that, we need a miracle. And to completely renew ourselves, to change the direction of the Titanic, we need a miracle. Now, it's good that we've just been celebrating Easter. We've been celebrating the great victory of Jesus on the cross and the great power of his resurrection. And it's exactly that resurrection power that is able to renew our mindset completely. Not just improve it, but to completely renew our mindset. This is what Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 says. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh desires, on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. It is only by the Spirit of God that we can make real changes to our way of thinking. Life and peace. I don't know about you, but that sounds really good to me. Life and peace. Wouldn't you want some of that? But that's exactly the difference that godly mindset can make. It can bring this life and peace to our lives, to our situations. Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, he's speaking from his own experience. For example, when he was severely beaten and imprisoned with Silas in the city of Philippi, the attitude was still that of worship instead of grumbling or fear. He wasn't worried about what they were going to do to him, what was going to happen next, about the pain he was experiencing. They were actually singing praises to God at midnight in the prison. That was his mindset. And do you know what? Life and peace came to right into the prison cell where they were. And the mindset of the Spirit brought life and peace, even in the midst of that their situation. And the good news was that their circumstances changed. But even if the circumstances have not changed, because of the mindset, they already experienced the life and peace that the Spirit brought. So, what does the Bible say we should do to help us form a godly mindset? I found three different things. Let's go through them. Number one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It's a very short verse. And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Very simple. We have the mind of Christ. Our theme over the Easter period was the great exchange. It was to remind us that what Jesus has done on the cross was for our benefit. He gave his life for us so that we get to share in his life. It was this great exchange. And even his mindset is now available to us by his Spirit. That is the great exchange. His mindset now becomes our mindset. We have access to the very mind of Christ. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is just a great chapter overall. Paul is explaining there how amazing God's wisdom and God's will is. Just saying, just so amazing. But he says, God's will, God's wisdom can only be understood by those who have the mind of Christ, who have this renewed mind by the Holy Spirit. But this verse 16 is the end of the chapter. It's where he says that we all have access to this. This is for everyone. It's not spiritual and unspiritual Christians. We all have access to this mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit. So the first lesson for us is to realize that we have been given this access to the renewed mind for all of us. That's what Jesus won on the cross for us, that great exchange. We can put on Christ, so to speak, and he can override our worldly way of thinking. In Christ, we become new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's what Christ has done for us. But, of course, the sad reality is that many of us don't do that. We don't take advantage of the access that we have been given to the mindset of Christ. Paul continues in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he tells the Corinthians that they are like spiritual babies. He's not able to properly explain to them about God's wisdom and God's plans, because they still have that worldly mindset. The mindset of Christ is available, but they are not taking advantage of that. And we have to choose to live according to this new mindset. It is a choice we have to make. It's not going to happen automatically. And this is what he writes to the Colossians on the same topic. This is Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Set your minds, Paul says. Set your minds. Make that decision. Just reorient your focus. Set your minds on the things above. Choose to have the mind of Christ. Again, this is something we actively do. It's not passive. We can't be just passive receivers of this. So set your minds on the things above. Now, of course, God will help us with this. We have the Holy Spirit, but we still have to make that decision. Again, I like the way Paul puts it in Philippians. He tells them to adopt the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus. So again, do this, choose this, adopt that mindset, make that yours. Some of you might remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's what Paul is telling the Philippians here. Adopt that same mindset. Think in the way Christ thinks. Again, not out of your own strength. And the Holy Spirit will help us with that. But again, this is the attitude we should have, that of Christ Jesus himself. This was lesson number one. Lesson number two is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In Christ, we have the authority to say no to the old way of thinking. There are thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs in your mind that you have to say no to. You can't just let them run freely in your mind. You have to throw the worldly way of thinking into captivity. Now, there are some people who have an imaginary jail in their minds, and that's where they put all these negative thoughts. And it might sound like a joke, but even strongholds can be demolished. Strongholds in our mind can be demolished by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of God that we have been given. Paul says this is our weapon. We have been given the authority of Christ to take these thoughts captive, to demolish strongholds. We live in a culture that is hostile to God and to the things of God in many respects. There's the peer pressure. Of course, the devil himself is a liar. But God has not left us defenseless. We have powerful weapons that we can use to destroy these lies, that we can use to stand against some of that peer pressure and the negative culture that is around us. We can successfully resist these things. Now, I couldn't believe this when I first heard it, that in the name of Jesus, I can resist these negative emotions and thought patterns, but it really works. This is the truth of God's word. We can say no in the name of Jesus to these negative attitudes that rise up in our minds. And that is the power of Christ working in our lives. Now, the last lesson is going to be very short, and it's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, another famous verse. Paul says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It really matters what we fill our head with. Not only should we say no to the bad, we should actively fill our head with the good as well, isn't it? I don't think this point needs much explaining, but it's worth reminding ourselves of that, isn't it? Again, we live in the 21st century. We have access to so many resources, good and bad. And the Bible is encouraging us, say no to the bad, resist it, and actively seek out the good. And we have so many good resources that are out there through modern technology. Let's make the most out of it. Let's really use that technology to serve us, to help us renew our mindset. Now, since last year, I've been using AI to turn Psalms into songs, for example. Now, this has been really helping me and my family just to fill our mind with good things. And there's so many resources, so many opportunities. It doesn't have to look the same for each one of us, but we have access to this wealth of good resources through modern technology. Let's make the most out of it. I will finish with this one last passage, which I think just greatly summarizes these points that we were making. This is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I really hope that you will become more aware of your mindset after today, that it wouldn't escape you like that, like the smelly cheese on the mustache. You'll be aware of some of the things that need getting rid of, and that you'll more actively be choosing to have that mind of Christ. I wonder if you can stand with me. We're going to pray, just thank God for his word, and ask you to help us renew our mindset. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word, that truly it is a lamp onto our feet. It helps us realize even this morning how important it is to have the right mindset, our mind set on the right things. And we want to thank you for the great power that is in the name of Jesus, that can renew our minds. That even though we can't just be passive, but it is you working in our lives by your Holy Spirit that can bring that lasting change, that can bring the real change to our way of thinking. Not just incremental improvements, but we're asking that by your Spirit, even now, you would help us to change, just rewire some of the ways of our thinking that are against your way of thinking. But we choose the mind of Christ this morning. So we pray, Holy Spirit, help us with that. I pray, Holy Spirit, give us a fresh revelation of that free access that we have, that we have by the blood of Christ. The great exchange that has occurred on the cross. That this is truly available to us. That we can choose to have the mind of Christ. We can choose to put on Christ. And it will happen. Show us again, Holy Spirit, how real this is. And this morning, Father, we pray for those who have been struggling with some of these negative emotions, some negative thought patterns, strongholds in their minds. Say, in the name of Jesus, be demolished. Thank you for the mighty weapon that you have given us, the name of Jesus Christ. We pray just freedom. We pray truth over the lies of the enemy. Even now, Holy Spirit, Pray your truth would become clear in our minds. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in our minds. You are renewing our minds. And we want to cooperate with you. So help us make the right choices. Fill our minds with the right things. Thank you, Father, that you have great plans for our lives. Your will for our lives is perfect. Your will for our lives is so good. So we pray that our mindset may align with your mindset, that we may make right decisions in our lives. We may walk in your footsteps, in your ways, as our mindset becomes that of yours. That we would see exactly where you want us to go. That your will for our lives, which has become so obvious as our mindset aligns with yours, as our priorities align with your priorities, our attitudes aligns with your attitude, Father. So help us in that. Help us to see the will, your good, great, perfect will for our lives more clearly. Even in the next few days and weeks, we pray just clarify that in our minds, what your will is for us as our mindset improves. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.